Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
You'll take your New Testaments and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11, as we are working our way through this incredible gospel in a series I'm calling On Your Mark, as Mark is helping us run the race of faith with endurance and perseverance. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 27, and I'll read through to the end of the chapter. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "Well, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why then didn't you believe him? But if we say from men..." They feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." The geek in me really loves these superhero movies that are coming out. You know, the comic books we used to read as kids? I love that the technology today is so cool and so realistic that we can watch on the big screen these superheroes come to life. There's a new Superman movie coming out in 2 weeks. I'm really excited about it. I don't know who the new actor is that plays Superman, but it looks really good. I saw a preview. Man, that just excites me, you know, brings out the kid in me. You know, the Batman remakes and the Spider-Man movies and the Marvels and the Avengers. All, I mean, that's just, to me, just fun to watch. And the Hulk. I mean, there's no superhero better than the Hulk. And some of you may remember years ago, He-Man. Remember He-Man? And I'm pretty excited because next year, 2026, they are making a remake, a live-action remake of He-Man. And you may remember what He-Man used to be about. You know, he was called the most powerful man in the universe. Remember that? His evil nemesis was Skeletor. Remember Skeletor? And He-Man would pick up that sword, and you remember what he would say when he would pick up that sword? "I have the power, 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 power." Oh, that's pretty cool. I know they made a movie several years ago now, but it was kind of cheesy. So I'm looking forward to this one that's coming out next year. "I have the power." I mean, who doesn't want He-Man's power, right? Who doesn't want to be the most powerful man in the universe? And I remember my brother James and I would watch He-Man, and we would get fired up as little kids. You know, we would try to replicate what we saw. "I have the power." And he'd say, "No, I have the power." And I'd say, "No, I have the power." And of course, we did what brothers do to try to show each other who actually had the power, until Mom walked in and said, "You guys knock it off, or I'll show you who really has the power," you know? And that about did it right then and there. But who doesn't want the power, right? I mean, who doesn't want to be the most powerful person in the world? And who doesn't want to have strength? And even if you're humble, at a bare minimum, we all certainly want the upper hand, right? I mean, that's just how we are wired. We want to have the upper hand. Of course, we would like to have power and authority. And I remember when I was much younger, I used to be pretty good at chess. And my buddy Mike didn't know how to play chess, and he said, "John, would you teach me how to play chess?" And of course I said, "Yeah, I'll teach Mike how to play chess, you know, and I'll always be able to beat him, because I have played chess my whole life, and here I am just now teaching him." And I must have been a really, really good teacher, because I taught Mike how to play chess, And within months, he became so good that he turned around and was able to beat me every single time. And I lost that upper hand with Mike. And I'm still a little bit upset about that to this very day. But we want the power, right? We want the upper hand. We want the advantage. That's just human nature. If you study the life of Jesus very carefully, and I think we should, because his is an extraordinary life. There is none other quite like it. Jesus demonstrates time and time and time again in the four Gospels that he lived with such an incredible power and authority. He lived with a confidence and a boldness and a clarity and a focus. To put it in football terms, Jesus never fumbled the football. He never did. I mean, he lived with such intentionality and strength and perseverance, and it's fascinating to study the life of Jesus. I know there's a lot of self-help books out on the market, and they're good, and I think we should read them and always seek to improve ourselves. And I'm not saying the Gospels are self-help books, but what I am saying is, as we read and study the life of Jesus in the Gospels, we get no better model and no better example than Jesus, who shows us how to live with such boldness and clarity and direction and strength. Even in his weakest moments, even in his most vulnerable moments, Jesus, when he seemed to be the most powerless, even in moments like that, we are shown in the Gospels that Jesus was like that only because he gave up that power and that authority to assume that position. The kind of authority that Jesus had behind him is beyond our understanding. And so again, in his most vulnerable moment, think of Jesus on the cross. From the outside looking in, he was absolutely helpless, powerless, defeated. And yet I'm reminded of that incredible song called 10,000 Angels. This is how much power and authority he had behind him. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him. And they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone, he suffered everything. But he could have, if he wanted to, called 10,000 angels. Jesus lived with such authority to the point where it astonished the people who not only had authority, they wanted more. They certainly wanted to keep their authority, and they were threatened by this authority of Jesus. And so this question in verse 28 of Mark chapter 11 seems to be a very significant question. By the way, Jesus had just cleared out the temple, right? We talked about that last week. And then what do we see Jesus doing? He goes back to that very same temple. Talk about a boldness. Talk about having guts. You go back to the very same place where you just overturned all the money changers and you drove out those who were taking advantage of people, and then you have the courage and the determination to go back to that very same place. Man, Jesus exhibited such strength and authority. But this question, these two questions in verse 28, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? And it wasn't just what Jesus did in the temple. His entire life, people were amazed at this authority that he displayed. Healing the sick, driving out demons, forgiving sin. I think we need to ask ourselves these two questions as well. Who is this man Jesus that with such authority could do these things? It's hard for us to ask these kinds of questions because we have a skewed vision of power and authority. We want He-Man dominance, right? We want to become the most powerful person in the world. We want to be able to bend people and circumstances to our will. That's what we view power and authority to be. Let me give you an example. Here we are in the year 2025. Already now, they're talking about, and people are positioning themselves to become candidates for president in the year 2028. We just had an election, and now we're thinking about the next one. But do you know why? Because who doesn't want to be in the position of the most powerful person in the world, right? There are a lot of people who want that, and they'll do whatever it takes to get that position. Now, I'm going to give you an example, but I have to preface this example with these words, okay? This example is not meant to be political in any way, okay? So, not political. Say it with me. Not political, okay? Our church is pretty good about staying neutral. I don't care who you voted for, none of that. So, please say it again with me. Not political, okay? But last weekend, we saw an incredible display of authority. Think about it with me for a moment. With just one word, the President of the United States, with the most powerful military backing him, just one word, gave the order and said, go. And with that one directive, 125 military aircraft left the mainland of the United States with 9 B-2 bombers, the most expensive airplanes ever developed and built. I read somewhere they cost $2 billion apiece. That's a lot of money. That's our tax money at work, okay? $2 billion apiece for those B-2 bombers that carry these massive bombs that do a destruction the likes of which our minds can't even comprehend. Flew this incredible mission, round trip, 36 hours, refueling in the air, hitting their targets with such precision, all that with just one command. Go. Talk about authority. I mean, who doesn't want that kind of power and authority and the firepower to back it up, right? I mean, that's just incredible. And the disciples, oh man, the disciples, they recognized that they had something in Jesus that would give them similar type of authority. If you look at Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 51, listen to this. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, okay? Because he was heading for Jerusalem. Get this. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Lord, we'll just bomb them right there. We'll just firebomb them. We'll take care of it. But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. See, that's our concept of authority. Someone doesn't like us, boom, let's just call down fire from heaven. Oh, who doesn't want that kind of power? Who doesn't want that kind of authority? And as you read the Gospels, Jesus spent quite a bit of time showing what true, godly power and authority is all about. It's not this fire from heaven. No, it's a tempered authority. And it's a tempered power. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, came to Jesus with her sons and kneeled down and asked him for a favor. And he said, what do you want? And she said, I want you to grant that one of my two sons, one will sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. What was she asking for? She was asking for privilege, power, authority for her sons. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. And then he went on to say to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord their power over people. They rule with an iron fist. But that's not the way of the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Not so with you, he said. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 24, we read this account of the disciples being in dispute and arguing with each other. And they were arguing about who was the greatest. If you want to look with me in Luke 22, beginning at verse 24, we read this. A dispute arose among the disciples as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them and call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Church, we are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at your table? But I am among you as one who serves. Don't misunderstand Jesus here. Servanthood is not powerlessness. Jesus' authority came from the Father. And so as we follow Jesus, he grants to us that same authority. Let me say that again. As followers of Jesus Christ, this tempered authority that Jesus displays, this incredible power that Jesus demonstrated, is granted to you to live the victorious Christian life and to run this race of faith in victory. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And I just want to back up what I just told you with Scripture. Luke 10, 19. Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Look at Matthew 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every sickness and disease. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have this authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal disease and sicknesses. Look at Mark. Let's go earlier in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Mark 3, verses 14 and 15. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. And of course, that great verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I touched on this a little bit last week, but I want to do a quick review of Mark 11, beginning at verse 22. These verses clarify for us a little bit more the kind of authority that we have as followers of Jesus, that he gives to us, that helps us run this race of faith and live in victory. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, Jesus said. Faith will give you authority. Faith in God will give you power. I came across this incredible quote that I want to share with you today. It kind of puts this power and authority that we have in faith in Christ in perspective. An umbrella cannot stop the rain, but it allows us to stand in the rain. Faith in God may not remove our trials, but gives us the strength to overcome them. Followers of Jesus, you have the authority, the divine, holy authority of God upon you to give you the strength and the power to persevere and to overcome. In Mark 11:23, Jesus gives an incredible example of the type of power and authority we can exercise as followers of Jesus. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Talk about power and authority that God gives to his followers. That there is no trial, there is no obstacle, there is no temptation that cannot be overcome because of the power and authority that he grants to his followers. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Friends, that's power and that's authority. When we go before the throne of grace, praying and believing that God has given us the privilege of approaching him and believing in faith that we are not a powerless people. We are not a people who are victims. We have been given incredible divine authority and we can pray with confidence. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your sins. Talk about incredible power and authority you have to be able to forgive someone and to break that hold of unforgiveness. I don't know if there's a greater power in the universe than that. And to be able to forgive and to break that stranglehold of unforgiveness. There's an incredible illustration of that in Matthew chapter 9. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, and I just want to read verses 1 through 8 for you, because what Jesus demonstrates here is what we are given. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to the other town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this point, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Friends, this same authority that Jesus demonstrates, he gives to you. So use it. Use it wisely. Use it in the way that Jesus would use it. But you have authority. I want to show you this video. This is from a couple of weeks ago from Sammy's alma mater. Sammy just graduated from Thurston High School a couple weeks ago. And this young lady, it actually made national news. But watch this video. Now, I'm going to set it up for you so that you know what you're going to see here. She's running the race, and she leaps over a hurdle, but trips and falls. Most of us, when we trip and fall, like she did, would just lay there and give up, right? I'm done. But what this young lady does is absolutely incredible, so incredible it made national news. And it serves as an inspiration to me that Jesus gives us the authority that even if we stumble and fall, we can pick up and finish the race, and not only finish the race, but win the race. Watch this video.
Another great moment from the OSAA State Track Championships happening during the 100-meter hurdles. Watch this during the 5A race.
As Brooklyn Anderson cruising out in front. Who can finish behind Brooklyn, though? Brooklyn somersaults her way to the lead.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, okay, God. I got to play it for you in slow motion again. This is Thurston High School's Brooklyn Anderson.
Oh.
Yeah, she is a junior at the Springfield, Oregon High School. Just insane athletic ability to not only get that much of a lead, but then to stay in her lane as she performs a gymnastics routine to finish and secure that state title.
How incredible is that? She knew enough of herself that she was not going to quit. She was not going to give up. And she didn't. And she somersaulted her way into the finish line and won the race. Friends, that's the kind of authority that Jesus grants to us. He gives us the authority to run the race and to finish the race with confidence. However you make it to the finish line, Christ has already given you the power and the authority to cross the finish line and to win the race. We are not a powerless people. Jesus says, I have given you authority. So exercise that authority. Pray like no one's business. Forgive as if your life depended on it, because it does. Run that race of faith with endurance to the very end. And even if you have to somersault or crawl your way to the finish line, you will do it, because that's our God. And He's given you the authority to do so. Amen? Amen? Father, Jesus is our example and our model in all things. And He demonstrated such power and authority, and He grants to us that same power and authority to run the race of faith. Father, help us not to lord over anyone, any authority, but to serve with humility, to pray with boldness, and to forgive with compassion, for in doing so, we are exercising the greatest force on earth. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit and giving us the power to run this race of faith with endurance.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.